With a scale in hand and blindfolded, Lady Justice is the epitome of equality before the law. But are we all equal before the law? Do we all have access to law and justice at large? This report is the second installment on the topics of access to justice, focusing on the challenges faced by the homeless and Indigenous people. Danielle Slimon reports.
When we think about justice, the first thing that comes to mind is access to the law, a lawyer, or some sort of legal service. Justice, however, is recognising disenfranchisement amongst individuals and groups and remedying those inequities, ideally through preventative measures or restorative practices. Perhaps even through what some are calling an emotionally intelligent justice. The Justice Project, undertaken by the Law Council of Australia, is compiling research and stories in the hopes of lobbying the Australian government to take measures to ensure access to justice is better funded and responded to. Homeless people and the Indigenous population both face significant policing pressure, which makes access to justice essential to ensure that they don't continue to face the court system. Yet often it is the law itself that needs to be reassessed in light of a call to justice. Tamara Walsh is Associate Professor of Law at the T.C. Byrne School of Law.
Many things that need to change within the law itself. For a start, there are so many criminal offences that directly and sometimes indirectly criminalise the state of harm. So there's been a lot of attention in the media lately, particularly with the encampments in Sydney and Melbourne around street sweeping type provisions. So these have existed in other jurisdictions for a long time. So they enable police or local government officials to move people who are homeless and who have set up tents or other improvised dwellings on from particular areas. There are move-on powers in every jurisdiction across Australia, but in certain jurisdictions there are also provisions that prevent you from camping in a public space, prevent you from storing belongings in a public space. And these are the kinds of laws that are being proposed in Melbourne and indeed have been passed in Sydney.
There may be some unique differences when it comes to vulnerable people, yet there is a general theme that suggests the criminal law impacts and targets the homeless and Aboriginal people.
I think we can generalise that vulnerable people are certainly more likely to be targeted by the criminal law. They are more likely to have criminal law offences that directly impact upon them. They're also more likely to be caught at the enforcement stage. That is true of people experiencing homelessness. That is true of people who are mentally unwell. It's also true of young people. One of my most recent studies with regard to the public nuisance offence in Queensland is that actually young Aboriginal people are particularly vulnerable to being charged with that offence. Now, that's a catch-all offence that enables police to charge people with almost anything that causes a nuisance to the public.
Aboriginal people are some of the most incarcerated in the world, notwithstanding some positive initiatives and innovations to safeguard their legal rights. Dahlia Anthony is an associate professor at the UTS School of Law.
In terms of the ongoing funding for Aboriginal legal services, there's been some capacity to accommodate the needs of Indigenous people, but generally we've seen legal services, including community legal services, really struggle to get ongoing and secure funding, so it's, you know, compromised their capacity. But notwithstanding that political and funding context, I mean, certainly, you know, if we look at some of the Aboriginal legal services across the country, they've, you know, developed initiatives and new programs that have sought to address needs. You know, we look at what the Aboriginal Legal Service is doing in Bourke in New South Wales around justice reinvestment. If we look at the work of the North Australian Aboriginal Justice Agency and their work with through care in prisons, we're seeing that there are innovations notwithstanding the constraints they face.
When it comes to dealing with Aboriginal people, there is a mistrust of the police and the legal system, and Aboriginal laws and customs are not given judicial weight.
Whenever we look at access to justice, we have to understand and interrogate why Indigenous people are in the justice system in the first place and whether state interventions need to be challenged rather than just the ways in which the Indigenous population navigates the legal system, how that can be better supported. We've recently seen a rollout of the Copwatch program where Indigenous people in particular are being encouraged to film police activities because they feel there's very little accountability. So this reflects that distrust.
The social dimension of justice cannot be ignored. Access to justice means keeping people away from the courts.
As a result of the austerity measures in the United Kingdom over the last few years, they have been forced to innovate. And what they've shown us is that the most important thing is to keep people out of the court. So in the United Kingdom, what they're doing is making sure that when they encounter people who are vulnerable on the street, rather than charging them with an offence, they are engaging with service providers much more often to try and address the needs of that particular person. So they might call a housing provider to see if there is accommodation available. They might actively take someone to a mental health service if that's what they're in need of. So what they've found in the United Kingdom as a result of cost cutting is that actually the way you cut costs is to provide people with the services they need rather than criminalise them.
Tamara Walsh, Associate Professor of Law at the T.C. Byrne School of Law, ending that report by Danielle Sleeman.